Booyah Yankee baseball tonight. The first of a four-game series against the Boston Red Sox. 7:15 first pitch. Yankee Sox. More on that a little bit later on. As well as an appearance from the legendary Bad Tiki, who makes his return. Made his return last week. He'll be with us at 4:30. Now, Sean Morash tweeted something out the other day. Most of you probably didn't see it, so I will do the best to describe it. And that was after the Giants lost week one, embarrassingly, to the Minnesota Vikings. Sean went on his kick that the Giants have to just tank, lose a bunch of games, so they could draft a quarterback. So he created these wonderful images on social media. One that says, arson the season for Carson, that's the reason. And he's talking about the guy from Georgia.
Carson Beck.
So he has this cool image of arson the season for Carson, that's the reason. And then he's got one, don't win for Quinn. Of course, he's talking about Quinn Ewers. So Sean put that out there, you know, and a Giant legend, a man who is ranked in the top 100. You want me to tell you the number?
Uh-huh.
Nice. 69.
Of course.
Nice. The great Brandon Jacobs saw this and says, this is uncalled for. And I agree. So, ladies and gentlemen, Giant legend Brandon Jacobs to lecture our man, Sean Morash. Brandon, thank you very much for coming on. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, fellas. I really appreciate you guys.
What's up, BJ?
Oh, Teak, man, just here, man, living life, man, or as most say, letting life live.
I hear you. So tell me why you were so upset, or tell Sean, not me, because I didn't do this. This was Sean putting wood on the fire.
It didn't really upset me as much as week one. We're talking about week one. Yes, Daniel Jones played bad. He did not have a great game. The line blocked pretty well. I thought the line looked really good. They didn't run the ball that well, but Daniel Jones played bad. He's a human being. He is a human being. He had a bad game. Peak, I've had bad games. You've had bad games.
Doubt.
Everybody, they have had bad, you know, bad games. Yes, Daniel Jones has had his share of bad games, obviously, but it's week one. And I think going into panic in week one, I think it's not warranted. You know, yes, they tired of looking at Daniel Jones. Yeah, Eli Manning gave you two Super Bowls, right?
Yep.
But Eli Manning had bad games as well. they wanted him to be gone, too.
That's true.
Know, it's true. And now you're talking about taking a chance and getting a guy from college, tanking for a guy from college. Well, check this out. The San Francisco 49ers, I think, has had a very good last two or three years with a guy who's Mr. Irrelevant. They didn't tank for him. They just took a chance. They had to take a chance because they had injuries. You know, I wish people would take pages out of the 49ers book when they're not forced to.
Yeah.
Let's try to draft a guy in the fifth, sixth round and give him an opportunity and see what he does.
Oh, so you mean you like Tommy DeVito? That's what that sounds like.
Well, I mean, I'm not gonna go as far as saying all of that. I think
my bad, BJ. I don't want to put words in your mouth. My bad.
yes, you most definitely. But I think Tommy DeVito gave the Giants fans a little bit of excitement. One, the guys from Jersey. He's from Jersey, so that had a lot to do with it.
Right.
Right? He came in that thing playing with some swagger. He threw the ball around. He made some plays on his feet. You know, that's what they wanted to see. You know, they wanted to see anybody taking a snap under center butt eight, and that's what Tom did.
Right. Sean, what do you have to say for yourself?
Well, first of all, Brandon, nothing but respect, but with all due respect, as a Giant fan here, all right? Look, if you're telling me they get the next Brock Purdy in the seventh round, I sign up for it. I know the draft's a crapshoot, but I can't do this anymore. To me, Daniel Jones looked like more than one game at this point. It looks like he's mentally broken. And the way the NFL is trending, they have a whole separate problem where they don't have a lottery. All of these teams trip all over themselves, and the top quarterbacks, like we've seen the last couple of years, go 1, 2, 3, something like that. And the Giants have more holes to fill that I don't necessarily love the idea of them trading up. I'm not telling you the players, by all means, or the coaches should give up, but I'm talking about from a fan's perspective. If it's going to look like that, and he's going to be that mentally broken, I look at all of these teams in the NFL and just know, we as a fan base are not going to see quality football. It doesn't matter who the other 52 guys are, until we find a quarterback that is not playing scared. He's too scared, Brandon. I'm tired of it.
I understand what you're saying. Obviously, I do. But he's our quarterback. And what are we going to do about it? Tell me which quarterback that got drafted in this last draft who knocked it out the park this past time.
No, I agree with that. None. But Brandon, that's what scares me too, because no matter what, when you draft a rookie quarterback, unless it's C.J. Stroud, I know that that rookie year is going to go through growing pains. But the faster we get to that rookie year and deal with that year of growing pains, the faster this organization can get back to the glory days of when you were there. Brandon, think about this. You are an all-time Giant. Evan just said, number 69 on the list.
Nice.
Two Super Bowl rings. All of that. You owe your career. You worked your ass off, and we love you for that. If you played your whole career and were dealing with, like, Brady Quinn at quarterback and not Eli, you don't nearly have the memories you have. It's almost unfair to the other 52 guys on the roster that it's another year of this.
I understand everything you're saying. I'm not saying you're wrong. Yes, the guy played like
Oh, I love BJ. I love you, BJ. That's awesome.
I understand that. Yes, yeah. He didn't look great standing in the pocket. I understand all of that. But he is who we have. And to continue down to him when he's reading and listening to all of this, it's like we don't ever want him to do good.
Right.
We don't ever want the guy to do good. He has to live with this. He has to play in this franchise for the rest of the season. How about support the guy and try to, you know, encourage him the best you can? Because he is who we have.
All right,
and just be careful with the curses. By the way, I curse plenty on Sunday as well with the same word. So look, there's two things can be true, right? I'm going to sit down on a Sunday like I do every week, and I'm going to root so hard for Daniel Jones to succeed. But then there's also that reality part of what ultimately, is Daniel Jones suddenly going to light bulb go off, become one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league and lead this team to the promised land? So I think two things can be true. We could support him. There's nothing you could do right now, but ultimately understand, and that's all I was putting out there, that honestly, I can't feel the sting of the pain of the losses as much anymore. I understand that might ultimately get us nearer to our goal is by losing games. So I'm going to root for them to win. I'm going to root for Daniel Jones to succeed. But in the back of my mind, I know what I put out there ultimately is probably the quickest path to success again for this franchise. So I think two things can be true.
Okay, so let's go to the draft. Let's play GM.
Mm-hmm.
Who in this draft at quarterback who's coming out of college this year could be someone that you think that will take the Giants in the next 2 years to the promised land, 3 years to the promised land, outside of Carson Beck?
I like Quinn Ewers from Texas, and I'm intrigued by Cam Ward from Miami.
Mm-hmm. Shedeur Sanders?
I like Shedeur Sanders. I didn't like the way he handled himself post-game in Nebraska, so I'm putting him to the side right now.
Yeah, good point. By the way, BJ, real quick, where's your son going?
My son is going to Clemson.
Clemson?
Wow.
He's going to Clemson. BJ's kid is a big boy.
I'm not surprised.
Big time.
Well, position.
He's a left tackle, right?
Left tackle. He's standing 6'8", 330-ish.
He's 17.
That's a good boy, man.
He's 17.
Wow.
Yeah, but listen, I have my problems with him as well. I'm dealing with some issues with him right now, too. He don't understand what I'm telling him when I need him to kill people.
He needs that BJ killer instinct.
Yeah, he needs to plant them into the ground. It's so easy for him to get his block.
Right.
And he don't have to really work. Like, he just put his hand out there and the running back passed by.
Right.
He's okay with that. I'm not okay
right,
with that.
Right. Wow. Brandon's the guy I had to tell to stop taking all the hits. Like, BJ, you're not going to play long if you take all them hits. So he did it selectively. Most of the time when he was taking my touchdowns away.
Yes.
But it's all good.
You can't say I'm taking touchdowns away. What I can think, I consistently told all of you guys, you, Amani, all of y'all, you guys got to work on your speed. You break away and get down the field and get stopped at the one. That's not my fault.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
That's a fair point. That's a good point.
That's true.
Is there any point this year, we're talking to the great Brandon Jacobs, where you as a Giant fan now would say, you know what, we're better off losing. The season's over. We suck. I want to get a higher pick. Like, is there any point now on the other side of things where you would understand that, hey, let's lose, we're better off?
No, there's nothing in me to say that. Because you know what? I think we put too much on the quarterback position, number one. If I was a GM, I would never take a quarterback with my first pick. There is a plenty of guys in the draft later on in the draft that you can give an opportunity to. See, there's great quarterbacks in the draft that get drafted to teams with really good quarterbacks who never get an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And their confidence is going up for 3 or 4 years, so you never really know what it is that they have. And no, I'm not saying everybody's a San Francisco 49ers team that go get a guy and everybody gets hurt. But that's the only time a guy that gets drafted in the 5th or 6th round as a quarterback can get an opportunity if somebody gets hurt. I would like the Giants personally go after a guy mid draft and give him an opportunity to come in and be a starter for you, and you never know what happens.
Right. It's all about the
quarterback with your number one pick.
So much of it is a circumstance. Some of them at BJ is a circumstance. It's who's teaching them. Who's the head coach? Who's the quarterback coach? Who's the offensive coordinator? Who can make it, I don't want to say easy. You know, Tom Brady said this, and I'm sure you saw these comments where he said quarterbacking has been dumbed down in the NFL. Who cares if it's dumbed down? It's letting these guys be successful.
That's it.
Right? I mean, just and so much of playing this game is about knowing, not even knowing, just thinking you can do it. Like, as soon as you think you can do it, nobody could tell you nothing at that
point. Nobody can tell you otherwise.
Right. And so quarterbacks in particular need to be in situations where they have easy early success. And that's, to me, coaching.
No, you're right about that.
And you know what? And I think the 49ers have the weapons around Purdy to make him look great, and a good coach, you know, to develop him, you know. But I'm just not a fan of all of this quarterback $500 million. I'm not a fan of all of that with the quarterback, because if you take so many people off of that team, and they can't be who they are.
Yeah. I mean, part of why Niners...
I'm just not a fan of the quarterback getting all his attention.
And think about the Niners' success. Brock Purdy has a cap of like $1 million.
Right.
Yeah, so they haven't paid him yet, and it allows them to pay everybody else, including a running back like Christian McCaffrey, and they're loaded with talent.
Right, and that team is good.
Yeah.
The team is good. They're always there, you know. I guess, and that's why, because they haven't given the quarterback $250 million with 125 of that guaranteed, and now you've killed your cap, and now you can't pay anyone else, and now you're back picking first.
I'm a quarterback that
you just paid all of that money for.
I'm very glad that you did this, because every time Tiki tries to tell Sean, or even I try to tell Sean, he doesn't listen to us. But I think you have gotten through to him, Brandon, and we very much appreciate that.
Thank you, BJ.
I don't think I got through to Sean. He's very. On it, like, you can hear it in his voice.
You definitely didn't, Brandon, but I still respect what he tried.
Thank you, Brandon.
Hey, Brandon, good luck to Braden, and tell Quinn and wifey I said hello.
Thank you. All right, T, you guys have a good one.
Thank you, man. The great Brandon Jacobs. Now, I have a scoreboard for the Lugash debate series that keeps track when they have debates. It's currently 2-1 Morash. I've added Jacobs, so now it's 1 for Jacobs, 0 for Morash. Would you agree that Brandon won that debate?
I would agree.
Yeah, kicked your ass.
Reason.
My ass? He thinks we're going to get Brock Purdy. What, is he nuts?
Well, I didn't agree with everything he said.
You never know.
I mean,
Brock Purdy could be on this roster right now. Name is Tommy DeVito.
It's true.
Oh, man, you could tell the Tiki storm for Tommy DeVito is building.
Yeah,
here.
Tiki is kind of believing in Tommy. Meanwhile, Brandon Jacobs did not want to take that.
No, he didn't.
You gave him the opportunity to, and that was...
He's like, nah.
That's what Lugie was praying for. Like, could Brandon Jacobs fully endorse Tommy DeVito? Sorry, it's not going to happen. But you did lose the argument, and you got to stop with the tanking 1 week into the season. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to all of us as diehard fans, because I'm a diehard fan. You are too. I respect you. I think you're one of the great diehard fans at this radio station. But actions like that, putting together images to tank after 1 week, gives us all bad names.
First of all, Andrew Kaplan put together those images. I just put them out because they spoke to me. Also, sorry, hate to break it to you. Until the NFL institutes a lottery, they make fans like me look bad.
Mm.
Quick question before we get back to your calls. Yesterday, late in the show, breaking news that we did not have a chance to get to. I apologize. Saquon Barkley was named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week.
Yes, fantasy.
And I am a little bit curious, because this is something I've battled with former players. It was only 1 week. It was Friday night. Are we actively rooting against Saquon? I know you're not, Teak, because you're a good dude and he's on your fantasy team.
Well, not only that, he's a good dude. And I want nothing but success.
So even if he's dead to you.
Eagle. He's just an eagle.
Right. Are you rooting against him, Sean?
I'm rooting against the Eagles. I root against every and all Eagles.
I get that, but is there more like oomph with
not
Saquon?
Not more oomph. I don't care if that's Boston Scott. I hope he runs for -30 yards next week.
So made no difference to you that he was
heavily involved in their win.
No, and again, like, I'm torn because I've rooted so hard for Saquon. I don't think he's a bad guy. I don't wish ill will on him.
It hasn't changed your rooting habits when it comes to them.
No, because quite frankly, it might. I guess I care, so I don't want to be too transparent, but I really don't care. Like, that portion of the Giants is gone, and I'm thankful that we've moved on from it.
Are you rooting against him extra more? I know you're rooting against him. I'm sorry, let me rephrase that, because obviously he's an Eagle. Is his performance affecting you in any way outside of the fact he's a player on the Eagles?
No, absolutely not. In fact, I want him to continue to have big games, and I want the Giants to stop his momentum, so that feels like a victory for all of us.
I can see that. So you're rooting for him to play well so that the Giants are the stoppers.
Well, what I'm tired of is the Philly people, maybe somebody who left this place, trolling us. It's like, dude, you know, worry about Bryce Harper, because it doesn't bother us.
But by the way, that would bother me. See, that's the thing.
Really?
Like, yeah, so...
Why?
Philly, because I don't like Philly fans.
I know, but...
So Philly fans trolling me about, let's say, Zach Wheeler pitching well would add to the anger that I have. Does that make sense?
No, I think it sounds pathetic, to be honest
with
you.
I'm very pathetic, Teague.
No. I think it's just pathetic to be like, "Oh, we got your best player, and look how great he is."
Well, they are pathetic. They're Philadelphians, bro.
It doesn't. Who cares?
I know
he's an Eagle. Like, we don't care.
I try to not let it bother me, but that would what would bother me about Saquon's success?
I think it's bothering you because it's Spike.
No, I don't care about Spike. No, I care about Philadelphians.
You brought it up because of Spike.
I didn't bring it up because of Spike.
Why else?
Me?
Yeah.
I brought it up because Saquon Barkley was a legendary Giant who just won NFC Offensive Player of the Week. I'm just bringing it up as if...
I wouldn't say legendary, but yeah.
That's true. I did go a little too far.
Tiki's legendary. Saquon was very good.
He won a fake award brought to you by Pepsi. We should all be panicked.
Exactly.
Let's go to Will in New Jersey. How you doing, Will?
Hello. Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up? All's good.
Hey, first off, big fan, Tiki.
Thank you.
Just want to get that out of the way. So it kind of hits on what Brandon Jacobs just brought up a little bit, too. I was listening to Carl Banks on the radio during the game, didn't get a chance to watch it. But, you know, he consistently mentioned that even when Jones had some time, nobody was getting open for him.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering if that's like play calling or effort or
I think it's probably a little bit of both. It's some play calling. You make the throws easy. It's hard to want to do that with Daniel Jones, though. And I can imagine why Daves is a play caller. It's not like priority number one, get Daniel Jones to complete an easy pass, because Daniel Jones is in his sixth year. It's his third year, technically, in this system, even though he only played six games a year ago. So it's almost like, I don't need to do that for you, Daniel. You're a vet. You should be good enough to find where this ball's supposed to go. And so yes, it is part play calling, but a lot of it is also just getting familiar with a rookie wide receiver, Malik Nabers. Wando Robinson really hasn't played with him at all either, because he was hurt in year one, and then Daniel was hurt in year two of Wandell's career. Jalin Hyatt basically had half a season where he was utilized and wasn't even on the field in week one. And the tight ends are rookies, or except for Belly. So it's like, where's the familiarity? Like, where's the consistency? I mean, I always used to tell this story how Amani and Kerry Collins used to have this cohesion. Like, they could, like, literally throw a comeback without looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
Kerry would drop back, eyes closed, and throw the ball exactly into Amani's hands. And that's just because they did it for a long time. Daniel doesn't have that with any of these guys right now. And so there's a work in progress, and it's why you need to give them some leeway. Why you need to give him 3 or 4 weeks before you really start passing judgment on he sucks or he's not the guy. Yeah, he looked terrible in week one, but I'm not ready to just pull the ripcord on him.
And I want to say this is a new stat only because I've started to pay attention to it this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never heard much about this. And I love PFF. I subscribe to PFF,
right?
And I love the player grades, and I'm fascinated like how the player grades would look for guys in the 80s and 90s, mm-hmm. just to get a better idea. So one stat that's been going around is this thing called separation, wide receiver separation, and it's based on how many yards on average there was separation for a team's wide receivers.
Yes.
So I looked at that, and they do it for individual wide receivers, like which wide receiver had the greatest separation, and then they do it on average for an entire team. So I was looking at that. And again, I admit, this is like so new because I don't remember looking at this last year at all. Daniel Jones, you tell me if you read into this, had the fourth best
separation from his wide receivers of anyone in week one. The only guys ahead of him, Josh Allen, who had on average 4.6 yards of separation,
okay.
Jaden Daniels, 4.7 yards of separation, and number one was Lamar Jackson at 4.9 yards per separation. Daniel Jones was
Is this per completion?
Target.
Per target.
Per target. And per this target. Is the also important nugget on it. Everybody else, Lamar had a 63% completion rate. Everybody else in the top 10 had in the 70s. Jones was at 52%.
Right. Of total.
Total. And this is only targets, not just everybody open on the field.
Now, should we care about this? Because you're the former player. Like, is these stats that we're getting too geeky on, or does this matter?
Yeah, it's a little, it's misleading. Because you look at, I only know this because I'm doing the Baltimore game. So I watch, obviously, the Baltimore Ravens versus the Kansas City Chiefs in depth. And so, why was Lamar Jackson so high? Because Isaiah Likely is a tight end who just sits into the flat, or he's just scramble. He's just scramble rule guy. Once Lamar starts going backyard football, Isaiah Likely is who he throws the ball to. And so a lot of those targets are to a guy who's gotten lost in the defense and is I don't know, 10 yards away from the nearest defender. I don't know why Daniel Jones is so high. From a target standpoint, I'm trying to. I'm gonna guess it's because he threw so many checkdowns, like so many dumps. Remember, I was telling you about that third down where Malik ran a lazy route and he should have went to the flat. He ends up coming back to the backside and throws an incompletion. It's a running back or a tight end who's just sitting wide open in the flat. Same thing when he tried to hit it to Motor to Singletary. He's just sitting wide open. There's nobody within 10 yards.
If you check down the entire game with the separation yardage percentage, it'd be huge.
It'd be humongous because there's nobody around you.
Right, right.
And so it's misleading, that stat. It's an interesting stat, but it's not telling you what happened. It's why stats lie to you. It's why it's hard. I value what PFF does. I truly do. But unless you're doing individual grades, man v. man, you're not telling us enough to give us context of what you're actually saying.
Yeah. Football is the one sport where stats more than any other sport will lie to you consistently.
100%.
They're liar. Now, not every stat
completion
is perfect.
Completion percentage is the same way.
Of course.
Because a quarterback could be scrambling, bad offensive line, and instead of making a stupid across-his-body throw, he just throws that out of bounds.
Right.
You know what? That's an incompletion.
But it was a smart play.
It was a smart play.
Or the amount of yards you throw for. Usually, you get to a huge number when your team's getting their ass kicked.
Right.
And you're throwing every single time when you're down by 30 in the second half. We'll get your calls in a minute. Plus, I tell you how I have uncovered that the Giants will hire Bill Belichick in less than a year. But yesterday, when the Mets had that great comeback against the Toronto Blue Jays, there were being no hit in the ninth inning. We were live on the air. You may have heard how I reacted. I screamed and yelled like somebody was trying to, harm me, and then tried to quickly explain Francisco Lindor to game-tying home run. I did not hear until our show was over how everyone else did it. Keith Ratt had a great call, as did Gary Cohen on TV. And I couldn't believe what he did. And I love what he did. Take a listen.
That's driven to deep right field, and a home run ends this no-hit bid. Linsanity! Francisco Lindor ties the game with a ninth inning home run. As big a hit as the Mets have had all season. Francisco Lindor breaks up the no-hit bid and the shutout, and he ties the game with his 31st home run of the year, and it's 1-1 in the ninth.
Obviously, an incredible call by Gary.
That's pretty solid.
He said, and I quote, Linsanity.
Linsanity!
And
you hate that or you love it?
I love it.
All right. Nice.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. And let me tell you why I love it. There is nothing in New York sports more overrated than Linsanity.
Linsanity!
Nothing. And I'm talking about the Jeremy Lin Linsanity. And I mean no harm towards Jeremy Lin. I think he's a great dude, and I loved what he did. Right. It was very impressive.
I watched the movie, the Linsanity movie, on the plane.
Yeah, there's a movie about it.
It was actually pretty good.
I'm sure it was. I just have a problem with the way it's lionized. Meanwhile, the Knicks the following season lost Jeremy Lin. They basically got rid of Jeremy Lin. They won 54 games.
There's context to that.
Well, the Houston Rockets offered a poison pill contract?
No. Carmelo wanted him gone.
Okay, fine. And Carmelo was right. I mean, I'm going to make a T-shirt. Carmelo was right. Because the
you
next...
think everybody will know exactly what you're talking about?
Boomer would. And he wouldn't like it. But they were better the following year. And so while I respect what Jeremy Lin did, and he was also a member of the Nets, and I have his bobblehead at home. He could not stay healthy with the Nets, but no ill will towards him. The way Linsanity is talked about is through the roof. This right here
is
Linsanity.
Well, you know why it was through the roof? Because how it made you feel. It's not about what actually happened. It's how it made you feel, which is why Francisco Lindor's season this year is comparable. Because it's making you feel a certain way.
Well, it also could be tangible in that he may win the MVP, the Mets may make the playoffs, and go on a deep postseason run. Do you remember what Jeremy Lin did in the playoffs in Linsanity year? Do you guys remember?
No.
He didn't play, he got hurt.
Did he really?
And there were questions on if he could play or not. I think Frank Isola used to imply all the time, where's Jeremy Lin? So,
what, like he was taking it off?
There's
no way. There is no way he was like, I'm good. I don't want to get hurt.
All I know, T.
Hurt my free agent potential. There's no way. I refuse to believe
it. That's fine. And you know what? Not going to relitigate it because I don't remember, nor do I care. All I know is that this is Linsanity.
Linsanity!
I want this to wipe the other Linsanity out of our minds. And when we think of Linsanity many years from now, it'll be like, oh, yeah. Lindor, 2024. You got to be with me, Luke. I know you're a Knicks fan, but come on.
But
talk to me, buddy.
It's apples to oranges. You're talking about Francisco Lindor, a future Hall of Fame player. Jeremy Lin took over New York City. It was a great story. To compare the two is ridiculous.
Well, I didn't compare the two. I'm just saying Gary Cohen called it Linsanity. And if two things are called by the same name,
right,
and one thing is better than the other, then that thing takes over. Does that make sense?
It does, but Gary's comparing it to Linsanity.
So you're mad at Gary?
I'm just saying Gary brought back Linsanity. He, I think, is leading the charge here.
Yes, he is.
Perhaps he's part of the coalition. I don't know that. You would know that being the leader of the coalition and Knick haters. But I think this will not overtake Jeremy Lin. I'm wondering if it'll even catch on. Because it is cool, but like, is every time he's going to get a hit, is he going to say, this is Linsanity?
Well,
this is up to Gary, much like Positive Tommy.
Yeah,
you
got
to carry the stick on.
I think that was just a moment that just happened because of what was going on in that game.
Unless Gary Cohen, and not just Gary, but people that agree with him, such as ourselves, we make it catch on.
Linsanity!
If every time we talk about Francisco Lindor, we say Linsanity.
Uh-huh.
If every time Sal talks about Francisco Lindor on SNY, NWFN, he says Linsanity. If every time Boomer, damn it, Boomer won't do it.
No, no way.
Crap!
By the way, neither will Sal. He hates Carmelo.
Yeah, but it's not about Carmelo. It's about Linsanity. This is what Francisco Lindor is doing, is Linsanity. I mean, let's be honest. He's carrying this team.
Loogie? Yeah, but it's different because Linsanity felt like it came out of nowhere.
Well, you don't think Lindor's MVP run came out of nowhere?
That he makes 300 and
forget the money for a second.
$34 million.
Forget the money. The Mets were 11 games under 500.
You can't forget the money because a lot of people will say he's supposed to do this.
He is supposed to do this, but the season did come out of nowhere. They were dead and buried. He called a players-only meeting. He's now carried them back into this relevancy. He may become the first Met ever to win the MVP. To me, this is Linsanity. I have Linsanity. We all have Linsanity. So I think everyone should just go with it.
I smell an Evan Roberts T-shirt, by the way. He'll be wearing one tomorrow that some dude emails him from Patrog.
If you guys make Linsanity T-shirts with Francisco Lindor's face on it, I'll wear it. I don't know if I'm going to make it on my own, but I'll wear it. I'm all in on Linsanity. And I just want to thank Gary Cohen. I thought that was an unbelievable call and a great idea.
Say, hi, I'm Evan Roberts. I have Linsanity.
See, now I will say it. I remember when Craig and Boomer asked me to say that many years ago.
I'm Evan Roberts, and I have Linsanity.
Well, no, you have to say it as Tiki Barber.
No, I'm just doing it as you.
Okay, because Boomer and Craig did this many years ago for Jeremy Lin, and I asked everybody.
They asked celebrities. They asked everybody from here to do it.
And I was like, I ain't saying it, so I'll say it now. I'm Evan Roberts, and I have a major, major case of Linsanity. Great call in all seriousness by Gary Cohen. It was an incredible moment, and I hope the Mets are enjoying their steak in the city of Philadelphia before they begin a huge three-game series. Clarence is calling from Irvington, New Jersey. How you doing, Clarence?
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me. Doing great. Love the show.
Appreciate
Evan
you.
And Tiki.
Thank you,
by
dude.
The way, Tiki, you are my favorite running back behind Priest Holmes.
Priest? That's not bad.
1990.
He was the man.
Oh, yeah. Just real quick on Jeremy Lin. On Francisco Lindor,
yeah.
There is a precedent for him to win the MVP. And I wasn't behind this. I was saying Ohtani. But 2007, Jimmy Rollins. Yeah. And 1995, Barry Larkin. Two guys who had to jump big-time hitters in order to make it. Thanks for having me, guys.
Appreciate you, dude.
Thank you, Clarence. So I've been giving this thought, even though at the end of the day, I don't really care. I want the Mets to make the playoffs. I'll worry about the MVP when there's nothing else to care about that matters more. But people do care, and I respect that. So I want to give you my thought-out answer on this. If this was 15 years ago, if this was 10 years ago, this race would be over, and Francisco Lindor would win. Because Shohei Ohtani, who is a great player, I don't want this to become, because it happens a lot, this turns into like hating on Ohtani. There's nothing to hate about with Ohtani. He's about to have a 50-50 season.
Right.
He's a great player, but he's a DH. And fair or not, throughout the history of baseball, if you are a DH, how are you winning the MVP when you don't do half of what's important and the guy competing with you, who clearly doesn't have the same stats as you? No one's suggesting Lindor has better offensive stats than Shohei Ohtani. He's just trying to close the gap as much as he can so that his defense can take him home. And I think his defense would take him home if this was a different era. But nowadays, we are so in love with Shohei Ohtani that nothing else matters.
And as we talked about a couple weeks ago when we brought up this exact issue about the debating of the merits of Francisco Lindor winning the MVP over Ohtani, it was no DH has ever won an MVP.
Ever.
And how great would it be for Major League Baseball, I'm saying this obviously tongue-in-cheek, if Shohei Ohtani was the first DH to win the MVP? And that's what's going to happen. Because, I mean, he's going to hit 50-50, right? He's ridiculous.
I don't know if it's going to happen anymore. I think Lindor does have a shot to win this award.
And I do, too.
I don't know if he will.
For a week and a half now.
Well, but Lugie's been saying it for six months.
Of course.
Even before the season started.
I finally believed Lugie. He hasn't been saying it for 6 months. Maybe 2 months he's been saying it. But he's right. And he was ahead of it. Because
he wasn't right then. He's right now.
No, he was right then.
Lindor wasn't the MVP three months ago.
But he was the MVP. I'm not saying 3 months ago. 2 months ago when he first said this, which was a month into Francisco Lindor being the man for the Mets, it was Lugie was projecting what was going to happen.
Is that what you were doing, Lugie? I thought you were saying this is what's happening.
No. He was projecting where they were going because they were rising.
Right.
You know, they were 11 games under 500, but all of a sudden it's like,
but
man,
you remember
this is pretty good.
But you remember what we both said? Because you agreed with me. What we said to Lugie?
No.
We said, here's what has to happen for you to be right.
Well, first of all, they need to make the playoffs.
They need to make the playoffs, which they still have to do.
Right.
And Lindor has to be insane, and he can't slow down.
And he's kind of insane.
And he's insane.
And he hasn't slowed down.
Some may say it's linsanity. I think if they make the postseason, and I think if he continues to have big moments, I think he's got a chance to win this thing. I do. I think he does. Because I think the Mets rise. We'll be able to overcome the historic nature of 50-50, which is amazing. And the one thing I don't want to have happen in this debate is people to just like besmirch Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
He's a great player having a great season.
But no DH has won an MVP for a reason.
Look, not his fault. He's sitting on his ass while his team plays defense. It's just the reality.
And no Met has ever won, so it's irresistible force meets the immovable object. By the way, July 9th, I tweeted out Francisco Lindor has put himself into the MVP conversation.
Interesting.
That's all it was, is that he was entering the conversation.
Right.
In my opinion,
that was a month and a week or so into it, right?
Yep, and the Mets obviously were playing red hot at the time. He'd been moved to leadoff. He was the catalyst, and they were the best team in baseball. And Evan, you guys can fact check me here, they have the best record in baseball since Memorial Day.
I know, but that's not how it works. It's the full season award. It's not a half season award.
Oh, I know that, but
yeah. It's more than half.
It's more than half.
Well, it's a full season award. No matter what time you want to use, it's a full season award.
He started building towards the MVP at June 2nd, whatever that first
the moment that team meeting took place.
Right, seriously, whatever that was.
And by the way, that's going to help him too. I think that the lure of the meeting, the leadership, I'm not saying every rider's going to go for it, because some rider's just going to say, Ohtani's stats, 992 OPS, 50-50.
I love Ohtani.
Yeah, he's amazing. But I think that there will be some that will be moved by the value in the most valuable
player. Well, I got to tell you, though, the one thing that Ohtani is doing, which is very rare, is that he's he's overcoming the East Coast bias. Because that's what we always talk about.
Right.
Nobody, how many Shohei Ohtani games have you seen?
I don't know.
Exactly. I maybe have seen one. Mm. Maybe one. I haven't seen him at bat, lining up whoever's pitching his fastball and just crush it. I've not seen it.
Well, you see more than you remember because they played the Mets and the Yankees. So at least six.
Yeah.
Outside of that, I don't think you're watching any of it because the games are late.
But I don't remember him being, like, amazing. Mm. You know what I mean? Maybe he was. I don't know. It doesn't register to me.
Didn't he hit the home run that got Jorge Lopez to throw his... Wait a second. Did Ohtani hit the home run that made Lopez throw his mitt? Because if he did, that helps Ohtani's MVP case. He sparked the other MVP.
I don't know. But my point is, yes. I haven't seen... Maybe I've seen two of his 47 home runs.
Right.
I'm not watching him. We don't see him.
Hey, I don't think that matters anymore.
Of course it doesn't, but there's an East Coast bias from a historic perspective that those guys don't get seen, therefore they're not taken as seriously. What I'm saying is Ohtani has crushed that.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't exist for
him. He's above that because he's such a star, yeah.
Exactly.
And he's doing something historical. A 50-50 season is crazy.
Yes.
Trey in Morristown, New Jersey. Trey.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Just wanted to say, if a DH was to win the MVP, I feel like, one, he would have to beat Bonds' home run record if you're a home run hitter, and two, his OPS and slugging isn't as good as it was last year. He'd have to finish it with higher than that. And then last point, I'm somewhat kidding here, but do you think potentially there was a little bit of handshake deal before the season? We'll cover up this gambling scandal for you, but you can't win MVP.
That's funny.
Oh, the gambling scandal. I want to believe what everyone else believes, which is, there's a big cover-up, and Ohtani did this and that.
I don't think that's the case.
I don't know. There's no proof of that.
No.
Anyhow, I'm going back to find out if Ohtani hit the homer on the call.
He homered in that game, so did Will Smith. I'm trying to determine which one hit the homer for that.
Will Smith hit two home runs, one off Adam Ottavino, one off David Peterson. Yep, it was Ohtani. Shohei Ohtani off of Jorge Lopez in the eighth inning.
Wow.
The deep left field. So Shohei Ohtani hit the home run that caused Jorge Lopez to throw his glove, which caused the Mets to DFA him,
yep,
which had a little bit to do with Lindor's team-only meeting, which sparked the New York Mets, which got everything going. So Ohtani, that's an MVP point for Ohtani.
That's a pro wrestling storyline, actually.
It really is.
Sparked Francisco Lindor to an MVP season.
I mean, in a weird, convoluted BS way, he kind of did.
Yeah.
Let's go to Jack in Boonton. What's up, Jack?
Hey, I was just going to say, Ohtani joined the Dodgers, and this is going to be the first season, and not counting the season with COVID, 4 years in a row they had 100 wins. This year they're not going to win 100 games.
You know why I don't buy that, Jack? Keith's made that point, Keith McPherson, and I respect his opinion on it, but I disagree with him, that, hey, he joined the Dodgers. I think you've made the point, too. A lot of people have. I disagree with all you guys.
I said he's he's Kevin Durant.
Right. Here's why I disagree with that. Last year has nothing to do with this year. When you are winning the MVP or the Cy Young or whatever award, it is a year award. It's about this season. What the Dodgers did really well last year or the year before that means nothing. So I think the best argument against Ohtani is Lindor plays the field and he plays it brilliantly.
Yeah.
And that's the argument you got to push.
It's really the only one.
Well,
people
are using the argument you just said.
But
it doesn't matter because he's joining the Dodgers.
I don't think you're buying that, though, because he's still raking.
Right.
He's still great. And I know he's protected. You got to pitch to him, but he's leading off. So, like, of course you're going to pitch to
him. And the Dodgers being less effective as a team this year as compared to last year and somehow making that a mark on Ohtani is ridiculous.
Yeah.
One thing has nothing to do with the other. It's a different season. You're basing it on this season. The argument that Lindor has that I think could ultimately win him the award is that he plays shortstop.
Yes.
The most important defensive position, I put it above catcher, the most important defensive position in baseball, and he does it at a level that is as good as anybody.
What's up?
We have breaking NFL news.
Let's hear it.
There has been an injury at Giants practice.
What?
Malik Nabers.
Get out of here.
I'm not trolling. Several reports, including Connor Hughes and Pat Leonard, describe speaking to Malik Nabers as being a little off today and not understanding what was going on. As it turns out, he hurt his knee in practice today. Now he's officially being listed as limited. More updates to come tomorrow, but a knee injury for Nabers in practice.
Geez, that's terrible.
Yeah, it sucks for him, man. Getting ready for his second NFL game, had a nice, solid debut, And now he's dealing with a knee issue. Obviously not good for the Giants. Yeah. Not good for their chances at winning this game. So he injured it today at practice, and he's limited. That's all we know.
That's all we know. But he was able to speak with reporters. But, again, reporters like Pat Leonard and Connor are saying he seemed very off when speaking to him. Then they got the report after.
Well, we hope for the best with him.
Of course he's off because he's hurt.
Yeah.
No kidding. I mean, that's frustrating.
No doubt. We also have another piece of NFL news. I'm surprised you didn't say it. It makes me think that Sean has a vendetta. And I think we need to be above vendettas. We're all teammates around here. And we have a coworker who was announced as a semifinalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Boomer Esiason, for the, what do they call it, the senior player nominees. They have the senior. Obviously, you're not old enough yet, Tiki. You're not in the senior.
That's
you're
awesome.
Still in the regular Hall of Fame.
That's awesome for Boomer.
Congratulations. It's a long list of guys, but he made it, so congratulations to Boomer.
This is how... Who just got
Klecko?
In?
Klecko.
Klecko.
Klecko got there last year. Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
The rule is players must have last played at least 25 full years ago to be eligible for the nomination. So we've learned two things. One, let's not forget how great of a football player Boomer Esiason was, and let's not forget how old he is. So those are the two things we learned.
Very, very old.
Right.
Now, congratulations in all seriousness. Think about our radio station. You were a finalist last year.
Semi-finalist.
I'm projecting this year.
Right. I hope so.
I apologize.
Let's get Tiki and Boomer in the same year here.
How about the WFAN?
That would be amazing.
Can you imagine?
Imagine that remote show we're going to do. Boomer, Tiki, and Eli. Let's do it.
Could you imagine if you both
That's right,
because
this is Eli's first year.
Wow.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. Eli's first year this year.
Yeah. No offense. And I love Eli. I don't think he's getting in first ballot.
You never know. He's got an argument for it.
He has an argument?
You know what his biggest argument is? Watch Daniel Jones play last week. Put him in right now.
We'll get back to your calls coming up. Plus, I thought about something, and I believe this is very compelling. I believe Tiki will even say, wow, you're right, Evan. I know Sean will say, yeah, you're right, Evan. I have uncovered what I think is proof. John Mara will hire Bill Belichick to coach this team next year.
Next year?
Yeah, next year. We'll also be joined by Bad Tiki at 4:30 and more of your calls. A lot of baseball, a lot of football. 888-808-1019.